Come on up, Lucas. Just read a few of your notes. Can you do that to everybody?
Yes.
Listen to this now.
The spirit of fear is gobbling up too much time. Fear brings confusion. Our prayers will be answered, not because of us, but because of Jesus. God will leap over anyone to get to me. Everything that we care about, he touches. There are laws of prayer. We cannot violate the laws of prayer. If you have the truth inside of you, everything will run scared. Sanctification is a process. Everything that is wrong in our lives gets clean. Prayer is really important with everything that we do.
Here you go. You did a great job. Great job. Here you go. Great job. Hallelujah. We're going to be speaking on prayer for a little bit, if you don't mind. And I have a book that, if you're really interested, is really an excellent book. It'll change your life. Jermaine Copeland wrote this. She wrote three different books, Prayer That Avails Much, and she wrote three of them, 1, 2, and 3. And she put them all in one copy, Prayers That Availeth Much. And it's from Harrison House. So if you look up Harrison House, you'll be sure to find it there. And she's an excellent author. This book has more scripture than words in it. Unbelievable. Prayer of commitment, prayers to the Father, prepare for the needs and concerns of others, prayer for the needs and concern of single, divorced, and widowed women, prayers for marriage, for children. Unbelievable. And this covers a whole bunch, and it's available at Harrison House. All right? I keep it in my library, and I use it often. Fair enough? So let's go to the Word of God tonight. I thank you, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, for inviting us into the house of God tonight. We thank you and praise you as we share the Word of God, that the Holy Ghost will come on in and bring a change in our life supernaturally in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Okay. So prayer. Say prayer.
Prayer.
You don't have to turn there, but just listen. James chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. It says this. When a believing person prays, great things happen.
Amen.
Say great things.
Great things.
So I'm a believer. So what should be the expectation?
Great
things are going to happen.
Amen.
Better yet, it's already happened.
Yes. Amen.
Hang in now. Elijah was a human being like you and I. So what does that mean? If he could do it, we could do it.
Amen.
He was a man just like what? What was the difference maybe between him and other people was he had a relationship with God.
Yeah.
I had to have a cable guy come to someone's all messed up in my house and, hey, where do you go to church? Oh, I don't. I'm told me what religion he was. And I believe religion is this and that. I say, you know, the word religion means back to bondage. What do you say? I said, religion means back to bondage. I didn't know that. Well, he said, now you do. So come to church. We don't have religion at our church. We have relationship. We're like, okay. He prayed that it would not rain. Say this now, a man just like you and I, a human being just like you and I, and he prayed. He prayed and saw results. You and I pray, we should see results. If we don't, it's on the part of the sender, not the receiver up here, hello, because he has already given us everything we need in his word. A little bit further now. And he prayed this, that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. Remember the widow? Going to take the last bit of meal out of the barrel just for her and her son. And he comes along and said, cook me that cake, would you please? She had nothing. That was it. She was going to eat and die because there was a drought. Remember when the prophets of Baal, he said, go ahead and call fire down from God. Whoever has fire come down from God, your God and my God, that's the living God.
Amen.
And what else did he do? Oh, do me a favor. It's drought now. Let's put water all over this sacrifice. They thought he was nuts. See, when you know God and you have a relationship with God, things that you do look like you're crazy.
Amen.
Think of all the miracles Jesus did. They thought he was what? They actually thought he was a devil. You're in league with Beelzebub. No. Because the unbeliever and the natural mind cannot figure out God.
Amen.
I like that kind of stuff. Amen? Glory to God. Here we go now. For 3.5 years. Then Elijah prayed again. He prayed again, and the rain came down from the sky, and the land produced crops again. We have great power in prayer if we would only realize that we have it. Fair enough? I'm going to go a little bit further, if you don't mind. I want to give you some definitions of the word law. Because when we pray, and if we pray, let's say, the law of blood first, you and I have a covenant with God. We have to understand that when we have a covenant with God, we have the benefits of that covenant. The blood is the benefit, one of many, of the covenant. So when we pray, and we pray in the name of Jesus, the blood becomes a part of what we're praying. But understand this now, it's a law. So what does a law mean? Let me give you some definitions. In Webster's 1828 dictionary, can I tell you one? That's a safe one. He was a believer. He was a believer. Let me try that one again. That which is laid, set, or fixed. That's what a law is. Today, in our society, with all that's going on, by the way, you know what's fueling all this? Hatred. It's all hatred. So can you imagine if we put seeds of love out there? We'd quell hatred. If you're going to put out a fire, you'll never see a truck pull up and have a tanker full of gasoline. It's usually a tanker truck with what? Water in it. Because what happens if you put gasoline on a fire? You're not going to put out a fire by putting an accelerant on it. You're going to put out a fire by putting something that's made to put that out. There is such a thing called the law of gravity. What is the law of gravity? What goes up, comes down. So there's a law of gravity. I cannot deny the law of gravity. We have a rule of law in our land. That means if you do something here and the law said you can't, you're breaking the law. Right now, there is no rule of law. Everybody's running rampant, and hatred is fueling that. What we need is an outbreak and a Holy Ghost revival of God's love, which will turn everything around overnight. That's where the church comes in. Amen. Here's another definition from Webster's dictionary in today's rule. A rule, particularly an established or permanent rule. Wow. Established. In Hebrews 12:28, it says this. We receive a kingdom that is firm and stable and cannot be shaken. See, we are built on an unshakable kingdom. It's the Word of God. Say, it's the Word of God. Amen. I remember preaching this a while ago. I had to go look up some notes. But Bill Winston had said it. He's a pilot years ago. And he talked about the four basic laws of flying. So I want to give them back to you. Can I do that? Now, these are laws. These four laws, when they're put in place, will cause an airplane to come off the ground. Here's the first one. Four basic laws. The law of thrust. That means what? Thrust is what? Forward. Then there's a law of gravity. What's the law of gravity? Keeps you down. Then there's the law of drag. Thrust takes you forward. Gravity pulls you down. Lift draws you up, and drag holds you back. They're laws. If any one of those four laws ever changed, not one aircraft would ever get off the ground. I can't change them. You can't change them. We cannot change God's laws. The blood is an established principle of the Word of God, and when we pray, we activate the blood of Jesus Christ. We activate it. Because we're in a covenant relationship. God cannot break his word. Whatever he said will happen and take place. So listen real quick at Hebrews chapter 10:19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest of holies, how? By the blood. Say, by the blood. It's always by the blood. I've got some definitions and some scriptures about the blood. Are you ready for them? Say, the blood is a law in the word of God. And it will establish you and I in our prayer life. Are you ready? First of all, blood is an atonement for the soul. Whew. Say an atonement for the soul. Listen, I'll give you a couple of scriptures. I won't give you all of them. Romans 5:11. Not only that, but we also rejoice in God, rejoicing in his love and perfection through our Lord Jesus Christ. through whom we have now received and enjoy our reconciliation with God through the, hello, blood. Listen to Romans 3, 24. And being justified, what does that mean? That means just as if I didn't sin. Just as if I didn't do anything wrong. Declared free of the guilt of sin. How many of you know when temptation is yielded to, there's the guilt? We have none. Say, we have none. But the Red says in Romans, we don't keep on sinning over and over and over and over again. God forbid. We realize we have what? Somebody in heaven called Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. So if, personally, I speak, if I mess up, I immediately go to God and say, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. He's already got me covered, but he'd like to hear me say, because I'm one of his kids, I'm sorry. I won't let it happen again. Have you ever done that? All right, say there's no guilt.
No guilt.
If there's guilt and we do something that's wrong in the eyes of God from the Word of God and we still feel guilty, we don't have any idea of what the Word is really saying. He has already forgiven us of all our sins, past, present, and future. That's what love does. Love puts its arms around the child who gives you the problems, and when your arms embrace that child, the love of God comes in and everything is wiped clean. Say, everything's wipe clean. Say hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen now. My, this is such good. I like this stuff, man. Being justified, declared free from guilt of sin, made acceptable to God, and granted eternal life as a gift by his precious, undeserved grace through the redemption, the payment of our sins, which is provided in Christ Jesus. He paid the price. He paid the price. He paid the price. Now, always remember this. It's never based on performance of what we've done. If we do that, that's religion going to seed. It's always based on what he's already done for us, and we receive it by faith. It's never based on what we've done. It's never based. It's based on who he is and what he has already done. Say hallelujah, glory to God. Here you go now. What else does the blood do? Remission of sins, Matthew 26, 28. For this is my blood of the new and better covenant, which ratifies the agreement, is being poured out for as many as substitutionary atonement for the forgiveness of sins. Here's another one, Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. And are being justified, declared free of the guilt of sin, made acceptable to God, and granted eternal life as a gift by his precious undeserved grace through the redemption, the payment of our sin. Who paid? Jesus did, which is provided in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly before the eyes of the world to see as life-giving, the sacrifice of atonement, reconciliation by his blood. See, there it is. By his blood to be received through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, which demands punishment for sin, because he, in his forbearance, his deliberate restraint, he passed over the sins previously committed before Jesus' crucifixion. Guess what? He's got you covered with his blood. When we go to prayer of any kind and you pray, you are covered by the blood. It's part of your covenant with God. It's a law. It can't be broken. Say it can't be broken. Can never, ever, ever be broken. Let me give you one more. In him, Ephesians 1, 7, in him we have redemption, that is our deliverance and salvation through his blood, which paid the penalty of our sins and resulted in forgiveness and complete pardon of our sin in accordance with the riches of his grace. Listen to another one. One of the benefits of the blood is this, life and peace, Colossians 1, 20. And through the intervention of the Son to reconcile all things to himself, making peace with believers through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Glory to God. Another thing with the blood of Jesus, we have redemption. Yes. We have redemption. Yes. Say we have redemption. Can I give you a scripture verse? Hebrews 9, 12. He went once and for all into the holy place. Once and for all. Don't you wish you could do one thing once and for all? Through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, having obtained and secured eternal redemption. See, when we pray, the blood of Jesus Christ is always going to be a part of that prayer. He's redeemed us once and for all. Say once and for all. Wouldn't you like to get on the scale and say, that's the weight I want to be at, and then throw the scale away? Am I right? For if the sprinkling of ceremonial defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of burnt heifer is sufficient for the cleansing of the body, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Holy Spirit willingly offered himself unblemished, that is, without moral or spiritual imperfection, to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works and lifeless observances to serve the ever-living God? Say the blood. It works everything. Here's another thing the blood does. It justifies us. When we ask Christ into our life, guess what? It's the beginning of a life with Jesus Christ. We've talked about husband and wife come together, say, I do at the altar. That's the beginning. There's a whole marriage to work out. So many times people spend all kinds of money on a wedding, but they don't prepare for the marriage. I mean, you know, it's a different story. Amen? So we have to prepare, and justification is what happens after salvation. When we ask Christ into our life, then we start into a relationship, but the relationship takes work. Therefore, since we have now been justified, past tense, Romans 5, 9, since we've been justified, declare free of the guilt of sin. Wow. By his blood, how much more certain it is that we will be saved from the wrath of God through him. Wow. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Listen. Just as Abraham believed God, it was credited to him as righteousness, as conformity to God's will and purpose, so it will be with you also. Wow. Say, I've been justified by the blood of Jesus. Justified. Here's another one. We've been made near to him. Ephesians 2:13. But now, at the very moment in Christ, you who once were so very far away from God have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus wraps its arms around us and brings us close to God, because when God looks over the throne and sees his son sitting at the right hand, he sees the nail-scarred hands. He realizes his son bled and died for you and for me. Amen? Golgotha's hill, I guarantee you, still has the blood of Jesus soaking that ground. Amen? Because the blood, the Bible tells us in Hebrew, the blood speaks. Can I give you another one? It clears our conscience. Our conscience can be pure. Hebrews 9:14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Holy Spirit willingly offered himself unblemished, that is, without moral or spiritual imperfections. Wow. Here's another one now. Listen. Cleansing from sin. See, this is an ongoing thing. The blood cleanses us every single day. The blood's at work for us. How many know the blood that's actually flowing through your body? It's cleansing your body. Am I right? Amen. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. We now have the DNA of Calvary on the inside of us. Isn't that cool? I got God's DNA. I like that. Listen now, 1 John 1:7. But if we really walk in the light, that is, live each and every day in conformity with the precepts of God, as he himself is in the light, we have true, this is important, listen, we have true unbroken fellowship. How do you get a relationship that's not broken every day? How successful was Jesus? Because he had unbroken fellowship. How did Elijah do what he did? Unbroken fellowship. If you're going to have a marriage relationship, you're going to have a relationship with a friend, a worker, you've got to be able to have it unbroken fellowship. You can't be saying one thing here and the next day changing and saying something totally different. You have to realize that you and I have a relationship with God that's unbroken because of the blood of Jesus. How many of you have ever let somebody down? God can't let us down because of the blood. He can never let us down. Isn't that good? Say, he'll never let me down. Well, that's what I like. Amen. Broken fellowship with one another and with God. He with us and we with him. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin by erasing the stain of sin. Have you noticed when you get blood on you and your clothes, it's a little tough one to get out? He's already erased that, keeping us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. Here's something else the blood does. Sanctification. Wow. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. And in accordance with his will of God, we who believe in the message of salvation and have been sanctified, that is, sanctified means this, set apart as holy for God and his purposes. And his purposes. See, my life doesn't belong to me, it belongs to him. I'm here to serve him, and I want to serve him, and tell me what your purpose is for me, God, today and every day. My life doesn't belong to me. Everybody's saying, let's get back to a new normal. The new normal is when you got saved and I got saved, we found out he loves us and he'll never let go of us. Never let go of us. My God, isn't it wonderful to wake up in the morning and realize his arms are still waiting for you when you come home from work? When you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, he wraps his arms around you and says, I love you. Isn't that wonderful? Listen to this, a new covenant. The blood of Jesus Christ has established a new covenant because the old one wasn't good enough. Matthew 26, 28. For this is my blood of the new and better covenant, which ratifies and agrees, is being poured out for many as a substitutionary atonement for the forgiveness of sin. Now, if you got your Bibles, go over to Acts real quick. Acts, the very first chapter. I want you to see something here and read with me if you don't mind. I think it's verse number 3. To them he also showed himself alive after his passion, his suffering in the garden and on the cross, by a series of many convincing demonstration, unquestionable evidences, and infallible proofs. Can I try those three again? Unquestionable evidences, demonstrations, convincing, wow, infallible proofs, appearing to them during, listen to this now, this is powerful, appearing to them and talking to them for 40 days about the things of the kingdom of God. That tells me how real Jesus is. He's gone to the cross, he's risen from the dead, and he's about to go home to be with the Father, but he's still talking kingdom principles. That means you and I got to grab a hold of this kingdom stuff. See, the blood is part of the kingdom message. Say the kingdom of God. And Romans says, where is the kingdom of God? It's on the inside of us. And a king always has a what? A throne. Do you notice we haven't elected a new Jesus lately? Because there's no need to. Whatever the king says, it's it. But we have a democracy where we have to vote and elect somebody new every so often. Am I right? But that's the earth's way of doing it. The spiritual believer is, I already got a king. He's already supplied all my needs according to his riches and glory. I don't vote him in. He's always been there. And I'm going to go back home and see him real soon. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. I can't wait. How about you? Let's go to the next verse. Listen to it now. And while being in their company, eating with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem till what? The Holy Ghost showed up. You and I cannot leave the presence of God because he has something supernatural that he wants to do for us because the blood of Jesus Christ is so powerful. Amen? Can I give you another law? Are you ready? Another law. Let's go to this one. The law of boldness. Sometimes people lack boldness. Many times, and I've been in places where, God, no. But yes, in the boldness, listen, not of something I've done, because of something he's told me. And if he's told me, then that's going to kick in the promises of God that I need. Listen now, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. So when we pray with boldness, confidence, no condemnation, because we have the right of boldness because of the blood. The blood of Jesus has been sprinkled for you and I in heaven already. Wow, listen. The throne we approach in heaven is a throne of grace and mercy. I don't know about you, but that's wonderful to know. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 7, he is praying for us in heaven while we're here on earth. He's praying for us. Prayer is talking to God. Well, what should we say? We talk to God, the Word, because God sees himself in his Word. You talk the word back to God. And he hears our prayer because it's his word. And what does he say? That he watches over his word to make sure that it... How could we go wrong? How could we go wrong? What's impossible for God? Nothing, unless we get in the way. When I pray, I already know every answer I need is found in this book. And I know if I pray, the blood's at work on my behalf. I know I can talk in boldness and I can get God's results. Amen? Here's another one now. The law of righteousness. These are laws now. That means they're set and they're fixed and can't be changed. James chapter 5, verse 16. The earnest, heartfelt, continual prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. How many of you are righteous? Not you because you've done it, because what he's done. I have the righteousness of God on the inside of me. Amen? So if that's true, you and I can go with the blood. We can go with boldness. There's nothing, put this with you. When we pray according to his will. What's his will? There it is. So when we pray, how do we have to pray? We have to pray the word, which means praying the promises back to God. It's a simple thing. But what happens is you and I can get in the way and say, I don't know how he's going to do that. He didn't ask us how we're going to do it. He didn't ask us. What he's looking for is a simple word called obedience. He's not looking for your money. He's not looking for anything you own on planet Earth. He's looking for our obedience. Remember Jesus coming in, and they're laying palm leaves in front of him, and he's saying, look, if they don't praise me, the stones will start praising me. Listen to what the next one is. Wow. What does righteousness mean? It means to be in right standing with God. It's nothing we've done again. I'm in right standing with God because the word says that. Here's another one. To be in right relationship with God. If somebody's married and they're not being faithful to their spouse, it's a relationship, but it's going in the wrong direction. The Bible says in James that the Holy Spirit is jealous, like a jealous lover. When we start to have the world get on inside of us instead of the word of God, and it begins to replace places where reserved for God. Amen? One of the things that brings fear on people is making bad decisions. And once bad decisions are made, they'll try to take root. But some decisions we make that are bad follow us all the way through life. Others we can turn around right away and correct them. But even when they're a decision that may take years and years to turn around, God never stopped loving you and I. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. He can never stop loving us. If you have ever had a child, you'd know that no matter what they do, where they are, what's going on, you can never stop loving them. If somebody does something wrong to you and I, we never stop loving them. Our arms stay just like this. Amen. We receive and we give love. Amen? Glory to God. So now you got what? The law of the blood, the law of boldness, and the law of righteousness. These we have, they belong to us. Here's another one, the law of faith. Oh, Matthew chapter 21 and 22. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive them. But we have to ask them how? According to his word. Here's another one, the law of praise. A good psalm to read is Psalm 100. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Wow. It's like when people pray, instead of praying the answer, they pray the problem. God knew what your problem would be long before we were ever born. But see, a sign of maturity is, instead of talking about the problem we may have in an area, instead of the answer, I'm going to be praying the answer in every case because I have the blood on my side. I have boldness on my side. I have the righteousness of God on my side. I have the law of faith at work in my body. And now we're talking about, say, praise. Therefore, by him, Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. See, the Bible said he inhabits the praises of his saints. He lives in the praises of his saints. When things are going bad and we're still praising God, the enemy's got a headache. I got news for you. He's saying, how can they do that? It's because when we pray, we've got the blood on our side. When we pray, we've got the boldness on our side. When we pray, we've got what? Righteousness on our side. We've got the law of faith. We've got the law of praise. When you start putting these things in your lineup, nobody's going to want to play against you and I. The enemy cannot create anything. He copies everything that God has ever done. What's prayer? Talking to God. How do you talk? What do you say to God? You say the word back to him. That's all we do is say the word. That's why it's so important to know scripture verses. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity tonight to share around the precious word of God. We give you thanks. We ask that as we travel home, you'll protect us and guide us and prepare us for tomorrow. We thank you and praise you, Father, in Jesus' name, for the things we've mentioned and others we'll talk about. Thank you for having us covered top to bottom. Thank you, and thank you again. Amen.